بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته، أما بعد. Dear respected brothers and elders, before the starting of the program, I would like to request everyone to move as close as they can to the minbar, close as they can to the speaker, taking into consideration people praying salah. Everyone is requested to try and move as close as they can. It is from the adab and the etiquettes of the speech, the adab and the etiquettes of the speech, that the people are as close as they can to the speaker. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to give a wa'd, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would give a lecture, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would be very eager and try to move as close as they can, because they knew that the closer that they are to the speaker, the more benefit they will get. So in the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, it would be impossible to see someone sitting over there, someone sitting there, someone sitting there. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they would all be packed together close, and they would be close together. And they would be so close, in fact, sitting so close together, that once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he had to reveal a verse saying that if someone of status was to come in the gathering, so sometimes what used to happen was that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would be sitting, and one of the special Sahaba or one of the special guests of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would come, and they would be given permission to sit in front of the majlis. They would be given permission to sit by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum was so close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so tight, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to reveal the verse, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ تَفَسَّحُوا فِي الْمَجَالِسِ فَفْسَحُوا يَفْسَحِ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَإِذَا قِيلَ انْشُزُوا فَانْشُزُوا. That all the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all those who believe, all the Sahaba, when someone special comes and when they are given permission to sit close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then make space for them. Make space for them. Now obviously, if there was already space in the gathering, then there would be no need to say make space for them, because they would just come and sit there, they would just come and sit there, they would just come and sit here. That shows how close and how tightly packed they were around the minbar of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So from that we learn the etiquette of the speech and the etiquette of the majlis. One of the etiquettes of the majlis is to sit as close as we can, and this is at this time on the day of Jumu'ah as well. On the day of Jumu'ah, when the Imam is giving the lecture, instead of sitting at the back, it's much better to sit as close as we can to the lecturer, close as we can to the Imam. The rewards are much more, the tawajjuh and the attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much more, the blessings are much more, the thawab and the reward of a person is much more. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first of all give me and everyone the ability to learn and to bring the etiquettes of the majalis in our lives. Now, carrying the program forward, I request Maulana Yunus Sahib to come and recite some verses of the glorious Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والنجم إذا هوى ما ضل صاحبكم وما غوى وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى علمه شديد القوى ذو مرة فاستوى وهو بالأفق الأعلى. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والنجم إذا هوى ما ضل صاحبكم وما غوى وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى. علمه شديد القوى ذو مرة فاستوى وهو بالأفق الأعلى. ثم دنا فتدلى فكان قاب قوسين أو أدنى فأوحى إلى عبده ما أوحى فأوحى إلى عبده ما أوحى ما كذب الفؤاد ما رأى. أفتمارونه على ما يرى ولقد رآه نزلة أخرى عند سدرة المنتهى عندها جنة المأوى. إذ يخشى السدرة ما يخشى ما زاغ البصر وما طغى. لقد رأى من آيات ربه الكبرى. أفرأيتم اللات والعزى ومناة الثالثة الأخرى. ألكم الذكر وله الأنثى. تلك إذا قسمة ضيزى. إن هي إلا أسماء سميتموها أنتم وآباؤكم ما أنزل الله سلطان. إن يتبعون إلا الظن وما تهوى الأنفس ولقد جاءهم من ربهم الهدى. أم للإنسان ما تمنى فلله الآخرة والأولى. صدق الله العظيم.
MashaAllah, Tabarakallah, Jazakumullah Khairan, Tumarana Yunus Sahib. The verses that Mawlana recited were from the first few verses of Surah Najm in the 27th Juz, whereby the credibility of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the credibility of the wahi to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been mentioned. In these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is substantiating the fact, is making strong the fact that whatever is revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is and definitely is the Quran. There is no doubt about the fact that the revelation that is revealed unto the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the medium of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is in fact the Quran. The disbelievers in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Makkah al-Mukarramah, they used to deny and they used to say that the verses that are recited by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are not the Quran. Some used to say that it's magic. Some used to say, na'udhu billah, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is crazy. So throughout the Quran, in a lot of places of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tries to explain, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he explains that whatever is being recited by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is definitely the Quran. In the second verse, which was recited, مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions the word صَاحِبُكُمْ, which means that person of yours who was living by you till today, that person who grew up in your midst, صَاحِبُكُمْ, your friend, or the person who was with you all of this time. It was a known fact in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was as-sadiq, he was truthful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was al-amin. He was very trustworthy. And there was no doubt, even in any of the disbelievers' minds, there was not even a small amount of doubt that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a liar. Till the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, till the time where revelation started to be revealed unto the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that even the disbelievers, they used to call the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as-sadiq and al-amin. They used to call the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam truthful. They knew that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was definitely trustworthy. That's why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, initially at the beginning, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not have the need to proclaim or to spread the message of the Quran. But then there was a verse of the Quran which was revealed, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then ordered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that now you must go and you must now recite the Quran to people. So what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did was that he climbed a mountain and he called the leaders of the Quraysh, he called the disbelievers, and he said to them that, O leaders of Quraysh, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on the top of the mountain and the leaders of the Quraysh, they were at the bottom of the mountain. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told them that, O leaders of Quraysh, if I was to tell you that behind this mountain there is an army waiting to attack you, there's people behind the army there, they're waiting to attack you, would you believe me? So in one way, everyone said, yes, definitely, you are a sadiq, you are al-amin, you are trustworthy, we will definitely believe you. We will start to make preparation for the battle. We will definitely believe you that behind the mountain there is an army waiting to attack us. They knew. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that, I am going to warn you of something that it is even more dangerous than an army. I am warning you of a punishment that will come for those people who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After hearing this, the leaders of the Quraysh, their faces changed, their minds, they changed. All of a sudden they started thinking that, na'udhu billah, he is a lunatic, he is lying. Now the only thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them was that there is going to come a day wherein those who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be punished. Up until that moment, every single person had no doubt in their mind that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is true. He's truthful, he's trustworthy. So the Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses, he mentions that the credibility, the truthfulness and the trustworthiness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is of no doubt. And then further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he touches upon the journey of Mi'raj with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he made when he went to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereby they came to a point where Sidratul Muntaha, they came to a point where it was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I cannot go further from here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling you, I cannot go further from here. If I even take one step forward, then I will burn. I will burn into dust. I will burn and I will perish. I will not be able to make the next step. You, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are the only one who has the capability to go further than this point and go to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just one quick point that is coming to my mind. There has been one of our pious predecessors, Shah Ata'ullah al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, a very pious person, in terms of his knowledge as well, in terms of his amal as well, a very pious person, a very close servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the love that he had for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a Sayyid, meaning he was from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Shah Ata'ullah Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, talking to himself, so out of ghalba and out of love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of reverence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was narrating this story once in front of his students, when he came to this point and he said that Jibreel Amin, he didn't step further. And the reason he didn't step further is because he was afraid that he would burn. He would turn into dust. He says to himself that uff ho e Bukhari. He says that, oh Bukhari, if it was you, he's saying to himself, if it was you, I would have listened to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I don't care if I would have burned and I would turn to ash. I would not have disobeyed the order of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the wish of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The wish of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam also passed that line. So he says to himself that if it was me, I don't care if I would have burnt. I love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much that I would have wanted to fulfill the wish of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I would have gone further and I would have turned to dust. That was the love of the Akabir, the love of our pious predecessors. So these anecdotes that we hear, these stories that we hear from the Quran, from the Akabir, they are very precious stories. They are there to help us and teach us the true way. They're here to help us, to guide us in the true way, the true path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very important for us to attach ourselves to the Akabir, attach ourselves to the Ahadith of Prophet ﷺ, and to attach ourselves to the Quran. And dear respected brothers and elders, it is very unfortunate that due to our disattachment to the Quran, we are becoming further and further and further away from the Quran. And it is because of that that in our individual lives and in our collective lives, we are not seeing any success. The truth is that true success lies in following the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, we see that they used to recite the Quran so much, they used to act upon the Quran so much, they used to learn the Quran so much. Their connection with the Quran was so much, and it was due to their connection of the Quran, their connection to the Quran, that they were successful. Even in the hearts of those who deny, even in the hearts of the disbelievers, there was reverence and there was love for the Sahaba. Why? It's because of the Sahaba's love that they had for the Quran. Whereas on the opposite, totally opposite, is our state, that we want people to love us on an individual basis. We want people to love us on a collective basis. But in order to do that, we need to become closer to the Quran. We are becoming further and further and further away from the Quran. So dear respected brothers and elders, it is my heartfelt appeal that we try to read as much Quran. My Honorable Shaykh, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Salim Durrat Sahib, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, he says that we should, on a daily basis, we should try to read at least one juz of the Quran. If we cannot read one juz, then read half a juz. If we can't read half a juz, read a quarter of a juz. If we can't read quarter of a juz, read one page. And he goes to this fact that if you can't even read one page, read one ayah. Read one ayah. After one salah, go to the Quran, open the Quran, alif lam mim, close the Quran and put the Quran away. The next day, open the Quran, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, close the Quran and put it away. Now the reason, the thinking of the Akabir, the thinking of our pious, is very far. And the reason Hazrat says, is because the Quran is a magnet. It's impossible that a person, he picks up the Quran and he reads one ayah, and he won't want to read more. Let me read a second ayah, a third ayah, a fourth ayah. And slowly, 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 he'll see that in his life, that forget a quarter juz, forget a half a juz, inshallah, he'll be able to read a full juz. Just a few weeks prior, he'll be thinking, it's impossible for me to read one juz. But just a few weeks or a few months, inshallah, if someone keeps up this practice, he'll see daily, on a daily basis, he's able to read one juz of the Quran. One and a half juz, two juz, three juz of the Quran. Whereas on the other hand, if someone, he feels that, oh, there's no, I'll never be able to read one juz, so I'm not going to read at all. I'm not able, one juz is my target. I'm never going to be able to read one juz, so you know what, I'm never going to lift the Quran, I'm never going to read it. He'll never get to one juz. So it's important for us to attach ourselves to the recitation of the Quran, also to the durus of the Quran, to the lessons of the Quran. Here in Masjid Hamza, from Thursday to Saturday, on Wednesdays there's an English Dars-i-Quran. On Thursdays to Saturdays, the Urdu Dars-i-Quran takes place, and on Sundays the Dars-i-Hadith takes place. So everyone is requested to attach ourselves to the durus. This is the message of Allah. Imagine on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He asks us that I sent down a message, I sent down a pigham, I sent down my message. How willing were you to understand the message? Did you even want to understand the message? What answer will we give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So it is my heartfelt appeal to attach to, for everyone, myself first of all, and everyone to attach ourselves to the Quran, recitation of the Quran, to understanding the Quran, and also to do amal in the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. I request a graduate of Islamic Dawah Academy, our guest today, Mawlana Muhammad Sayyid Sahib, to come and to render some words of advices. Mawlana is one of the, if you can say, the top graduates of the Islamic Dawah Academy. He has the tawajjuh, he has the attention and the du'as of our Honorable Shaykh Hafidhahullah Ta'ala. He has, ever since the student days, ever since his student days, Hazrat has, mashallah, showered him with much love, showered him with much attention, and Mawlana will agree, it is due to the attention and due to the love of our Honorable Shaykh Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has had fadal, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now lifted Mawlana Hazrat Mawlana to where he is today. He is an imam in Masjid Quba in Batli. So I request Mawlana Muhammad Sayyid Sahib to come and render some words of advice.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nusalli wa nusallimu ala rasulihi al-karim, amma ba'd. Faqad qala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, wan najmi idha hawa, ma dhalla sahibukum wa ma ghawa, wa ma yantiqu 'anil hawa, in huwa illa wahyu yuha. Sadaqallahu mawlana al-'azim. وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الله سبحانه وتعالى has granted us all the blessing of life, the blessing of being born, coming into existence in this world, And thereafter the faculties, the abilities, the senses to understand what is going on in this world. He gave us eyes, he gave us ears, he gave us a heart and a mind. The eyes and the ears, primarily these two, they take in information. And then the heart and the mind processes it. And through these three faculties, a person is able to understand what is good for me and what is bad for me. What is beneficial for me and what is harmful for me. And if we look at the worldly point of view, then in worldly matters this can happen. That sometimes maybe my eyesight is not great. So either I see something that isn't there, or I see something wrongly, I see something incompletely, and because of that I make an incorrect decision. That can happen in worldly matters. It often happens to us. Similarly, it can also happen that because of some weakness in hearing, either permanent weakness or at that moment, we didn't hear it properly. Someone told us that I will see you at 3 o'clock. And we heard 2 o'clock. So we made an error. And sometimes it happens that the heart and the mind, they hear the information properly. They take in they see, they hear, they take in the information correctly. The ears and the eyes. But the heart and the mind, the intellect makes an error. Maybe I am not so sharp, so in this matter I made an error. I should have made this decision, whereas I made that decision. So in worldly matters, because of any one of these three not being of the level they should be, there is a chance of error. So there is a possibility that despite having hearing, seeing, heart and mind, the intellect, a person in this world, because of incorrect decisions, he isn't successful. He was, in light of the opportunities he was going to get, the area he is in, he should have made these decisions in education. Instead, he made those. That can happen in worldly matters. In deen matters though, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given every person, every sane person, that level of hearing, that level of seeing, and that level of intellect in the heart and mind, that he can get to Jannah. So if you think about it, the amazing thing is that every success of this world is small in comparison to the success of Jannah. So in regards to the small successes of this world, every success in this world will be termed small. Whether it looks big to us or not. In regards to the small successes of this world, we can't say, oh, he's not very sharp, so he's not going to get to the top. Oh, he has this physical weakness, so he's not going to get to the top. You know, sometimes we say, Bichara, everyone deceives him. He slips up everywhere in life. So when it comes to the small successes, we can say this person doesn't have the capabilities to achieve them. But when it comes to the greatest success, Allah Ta'ala has given every person the capability to achieve it. That person who is simple-minded in the eyes of people, maybe the uneducated, if he puts these three faculties, hearing, seeing, and the heart and mind, the intellect, to task, to find the truth, to practice upon the truth, he can reach far beyond what great the level in terms of deen, in terms of the success of the hereafter. He can reach far beyond the level of great intellectuals. I once heard from my Sheikh and Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Salim Durat Sahib Hafidahullah, that he once asked a question to his Sheikh, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Ludhiani Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. under the question he asked was about a scientist, one of the top scientists to have appeared in Pakistan. The scientist, the name escapes my memory, who is responsible for discovering, inventing, producing the nuclear bomb for Pakistan. So very high level intellectual. But he was a Qadiani. Qadiani means someone who, in simple terms, someone who thought that the correct version of Islam is a version in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the final messenger. Every little child of Maktab knows and understands that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final messenger. And not that we should unnecessarily study other religions, other ways. But you and I, right now, if you were to study the life of the leader of the Qadiani, we would come to the conclusion as well that he cannot be a Nabi. As obvious as daylight. So, my Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Salim Sahib Hafidhullah, he says that I asked my Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Ludhiani rahmatullahi, so strange, such a high level intellectual, one of the brightest scientists to have come in Pakistan. And in Dini matters, he went so far off track. So Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Ludhiani rahmatullahi said that if Deen was distributed based on intellect, then where would uneducated people like Bilal Habshi radiallahu anhu go? If Deen was based on intellect, then uneducated people like this, the vast majority of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu didn't even know how to read and write. Never mind any further education. How would they have received guidance? But that day came in the life of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu was told, Makkah was conquered, and Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu was told to climb on top of the Kaaba and give the azan. In worldly matters, there can be barriers. And there can be insurmountable barriers that, no, for me, these paths of worldly success are closed because I don't have this capability or that capability because of the family I'm from. In deen matters, there are no barriers. In deen matters, there are no barriers. And there are no barriers means there are no barriers regardless of the current condition I am in. Even if my current condition is that, I'm not very practicing. I don't even have salah under control yet. Or my current condition is I don't even have salah under control and I'm already past 40, I'm already past 50. Despite that, there are no barriers to achieving, to get into the top. Yes, a person has to want it. A person has to desire it. On the final page of the 29th juz, the 28th juz rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions three women. The first two are the wives of prophets alayhim as-salatu wassalam. ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا امْرَأَةَ نُوحٍ وَامْرَأَةَ لُوطٍ. Rather, Allah ta'ala mentions four women. And the first two are wives of prophets. The wife of Nuh alayhi salam and the wife of Lut alayhi salam. The third is the wife of Fir'aun, Hazrat Asiya radiallahu anha. And the fourth is the mother of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Maryam radiallahu anha. So four women. Two unsuccessful and two successful. The wife of Nuh alayhi salam and the wife of Lut alayhi salam left this world without iman. When punishment came upon the people, then they were part of that punishment. And the wife of Fir'aun, and Hazrat Maryam radiallahu anha, the mother of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, successful. And successful to a very high degree. There is a hadith in Bukhari Sharif in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam says that the gist of which is that out of the women who reached the very top, Kamula, they became totally complete, perfect in the eyes of Allah ta'ala. He mentioned two names from the women of the past, Asiya radiallahu anha and Maryam radiallahu anha. So women who reached the top. So, Hazrat Mufti Sahib Palanpuri Sahib rahmatullahi, once I heard him doing the tafsir of these verses, and he mentioned that Allah Ta'ala mentioned four women. Two women who were in the homes of prophets. Two women who are in the homes of prophets. But neither of them, because they didn't desire, they didn't want it, they were not ready to overcome their nafs, what they wanted, for the sake of what Allah Ta'ala wanted, they left the soul without iman. And then when the time came to mention the pious women, two pious women, Allah Ta'ala mentioned one who was in the wife of one of the greatest disbelievers, the wife of Firaun, who was in the home of one of the greatest disbelievers, the wife of Firaun. And Allah Ta'ala mentioned Sayyidina Maryam radiallahu anha, she was nurtured by her uncle as a Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. So she was in and around prophets. So Allah Ta'ala mentioned one woman who was in the most difficult of environments, and one woman who was in the best environments, to tell us that what your environment is isn't a barrier if you want to reach the top. Yes, it helps, no doubt. It helps. It helps a person. Environment, company are extremely important. But if a person wants to reach the top in deeni matters, environment, company, that he's in a place where there are no Muslims, he can still reach the top. In the verses which we heard before I sat down, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by taking an oath. By the oath of the star, إِذَا هَوَى when it sets, when it falls, when it disappears. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proceeds to mention our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam status, as Mawlana Sahib was mentioning, and that wahi and revelation and the Quran is correct. So there is a question here, which is that Allah Ta'ala took an oath. Now Allah Ta'ala can take an oath of anything. For us, the command is we can only take an oath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For us, the command is that we can only take an oath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He can take oath of anything, and He takes oath of different things in the Quran. Sometimes He takes oath of Wattur, the Mount Tur, the mountain on which Musa alayhi salam is his prophethood. Sometimes He takes oath of Washams, the sun. Wallayl, the light. Allah Ta'ala can take oath of different things and He does so. Here Allah Ta'ala says, by the oath of the star when it sets. By the oath of the star when it sets. So there is a question here, that why is oath of the star when it sets specifically been mentioned? So the first thing we need to understand, that what does setting of the star mean? Just like the sun, every day it rises. So it rises from one side, it rises from the east. And it will eventually set in the west. So similarly, although we don't realize it because we don't have anything to do with the stars, the star, every star also moves around in the sky. When it first appears, the night it first appears, then it will be at a certain place in the sky. And it will move across the sky as nights progress. And so it will seem like it is rising, and eventually it will seem like it is setting if you track its progress slowly across the days, maybe across weeks. And eventually it will seem like it is setting, and eventually it will disappear. So that is what the star which is setting means, the star which is soon to disappear. The oath of the star when it is soon to disappear. Why did Allah Ta'ala take this oath? So the star, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned three qualities of the stars in the glorious Quran. One quality He has mentioned is that وَبِن نَجْمِهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ. Through stars, people can track the progress, track the roots in the land. Now we don't understand this, but because now we have satellite navigation, Google Maps, and before that we had maps on paper. But in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and for a long time afterwards, one great way of tracking your progress was knowing where its star is at which time in the month, which time in the year. And accordingly, you would know which direction you are traveling in, about where you are. For example, you would know that towards the end of March, so-and-so star will be on the eastern side. So if we are traveling and the star is in front of us, that means we are traveling east. So stars were used for navigation. And in fact, Stars were one of the best forms of navigation because there was something unique about them. What is unique about them? In the daytime, you could look at other landmarks. The so-and-so mountain, or so-and-so town has just passed. So in the daytime, there were many ways of navigating. In the nighttime, especially in those times when it was pitch black, then pretty much the only thing you could see properly were the stars and the moon. The moon, sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. So the stars were a way of navigating when there was no way, no other way to navigate. So Allah Ta'ala mentions one quality of the stars. So here Allah Ta'ala took oath of the stars to tell us that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a means of guidance, is a guide in times of darkness. He is a guide in times of darkness. And the star is very, very far away. We get to billion, trillion, I don't know what the numbers are after that. But if you see the figure, then there are many, many zeros after that. The star is very, very far away. Despite that, its light reaches us. That tells us that however distant you feel from the guidance of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, maybe you feel, oh, I can't do it, I have this barrier, I have that barrier, I'm not very religious. You can't need that guidance. And there is a hadith of Musnad Ahmad in which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that definitely the ulama of my ummah are like the stars. The ulama of my ummah are like the stars. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this to console you and I who are not going to see him. The Quran is saying that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is like the star. And the star, even though it is very distant, its light reaches every person. And every person is able to navigate through it. So it is a means of guidance. What about after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told that the ulama are like the stars in the sky. Those ulama who are following the footsteps of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, just like a person could gain guidance from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his time, today a person can find that same route by following the ulama. Exact same route, not even 1 millimeter away. The exact, you won't find anyone of the caliber of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but if you want to follow the route of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, today as well you can follow the exact same route. And Allah Ta'ala took oath of the star when it sets. The star when it sets means the star is going to disappear soon. Allah Ta'ala is telling us that you and I, doors to guidance don't remain open forever. Doors to guidance don't remain open forever. Sometimes one specific door of guidance, maybe there is one alim who you know is beneficial for you in your locality or further away. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that door won't remain forever. He can go anytime. His condition can change. Maybe there is something, maybe there is one masjid, maybe there is one institute. That you are taking guidance from, or you feel that, yes, I can take guidance from here. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that door will not stay open forever. And Allah Ta'ala is also saying that your door, your life in this world is not going to be forever. So all the doors to guidance will close then. Just like that star is going down. Just like when we see the sun setting, we know that soon it's going to become dark. So those people who saw who knew the position of the stars, when they see the star in the position where it is setting, they know that there is only a few days left for us to benefit from the guidance of this star. So you and I are being told that the guidance of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whether in his form, in his life, whether afterwards in the form of the pious ulama who are following in his footsteps, it's not going to remain open for us forever. When it's not going to remain open forever, you and I, we need to behave with urgency. In matters of deen, we need to behave with urgency. I know I should be doing this, but I'll do it later. I'm young, I've got other priorities at the moment. Or I'm busy running a business and we're in the middle of this venture. Hajj has become farz on me, but I know that and I know that I should perform it. I can go anytime. But give it 5 years. I've got this task to carry out. Extension on the house. This is... Shaitan has his different tricks. So one method of shaitan is that he tries to keep a person far away from deen. And he uses different methods. For example, one method is that he tells a person that you're a Muslim. So Allah Ta'ala is forgiving, He's Rahman, He's Rahim. We hear it in Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim every day. He forgives sins. So you'll be okay, inshallah. You've got iman, haven't you? Sometimes about the entire deen, sometimes about a specific part of deen. There is a command of Allah. I'm practicing on many parts of deen, but there is a command of Allah Ta'ala that I know I should be practicing upon. But I'll be okay. And if a person decides that, no, I am going to do amal upon it, I won't be okay. Allah Ta'ala gives him that worry. Then shaitan, the next thing he tries to do is tell the person that, okay, we'll do it, but right now I have other priorities. Right now, I have other priorities. And these other priorities, whether it's family, whether it's making a career, whether it's this, whether it's that, whether it's, you know, enjoying my youth to the max, whatever it is. After these priorities go, then I will focus on this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, there is a very famous verse in the glorious Quran where Allah Ta'ala first He gives us hope. He says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Oh, my servants who have gone beyond the boundaries. Not my righteous servants, my sinful servants. My servants who have deficiency in the deen. My servants who still have some sin in their life. لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not be despondent of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah Ta'ala forgives all sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah Ta'ala is forgiven, Allah Ta'ala is merciful. Allah Ta'ala gives us hope. But then straight after that, this verse is a very hopeful verse. In fact, according to Ibn Mas'ud, Sayyidina Ibn Mas'ud, he says this is a verse that gives you the most hope in the glorious Quran. But then straight after that, what does Allah Ta'ala say? وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ. Allah Ta'ala is very merciful, Allah Ta'ala is very forgiving. So I sit back that I will be okay? No. وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. You return to Him. You will have to take the first step. In Hadith Qudsi, Allah Ta'ala says that whoever moves towards me a hand span's length, I will move towards him 1 cubit, 1 forearm's length. Whoever moves towards me a forearm's length, I will move towards him the length of 2 arms. And whoever comes walking towards me, I will come running towards him. What is Allah Ta'ala saying? That whoever takes steps to come towards me, I will pull him towards me. But the first part is always, whoever does this, then I will do something. Whoever comes to me a hand span's length, then I will pull him. Whoever comes to me walking, I will come to him running. Meaning, if you and I sit back, that, oh, you know, I'll be okay. Nothing is going to happen like that. That's like that person who has acquired a large amount of farmland. And someone asks him, you know, how's the crop growing? Have you started growing? He said, I haven't started anything, but I'll be okay. Every person will say, you're a fool. You're wasting all of that farmland. In fact, if you don't look after it, it can go to waste as well. So in the same way, that iman that Allah Ta'ala has granted us is the farmland. And if we can grow those crops on it, that will lead us to Jannah. But if we sit back that, yes, it's okay. I know I should be growing this crop, growing the crop of Salah. I know I should be growing the crop of Taqwa. I know I should be growing the crop of the fear of Allah Ta'ala. I know I should be growing the crop of controlling the tongue. I know I should be growing the crop of controlling the eyes. But I've got the farmland. So we are just as foolish as that farm. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. Return to Him, وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ, and submit to Him. Be ready to accept His commands. مِنْ قَبْلِ أَيْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابُ ثُمَّ لَا تُنْصَرُونَ. Because time is limited. مِنْ قَبْلِ أَيْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابُ. Before punishment comes. Punishment comes in this world, or the eyes close. ثُمَّ لَا تُنْصَرُونَ. After that, no help. In this world, the offer is,
Allah Ta'ala is so merciful. Allah Ta'ala is so, there is so much hope for you. And the moment your eyes close, ثُمَّ لَا تُنْصَرُونَ فَيَوْمَئِذٍ لَا يَنْفَعُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مَعْذِرَتُهُمْ وَلَا هُمْ يُسْتَعْتَبُونَ. When the eyes close, then the hereafter and the day of judgment starts. The day of judgment, there is a fixed time for the day of judgment. But for you and me, when the eyes close, our day of judgment will have started. Because the reckoning will start in the form of the questioning in the grave immediately. So, on that day, in the hereafter, لا ينفع الذين ظلموا معذرتهم. Excuse, apology, of no benefit. ولا هم يستعتبون. In this world, every single day, every single time you sit in good company, you sit in a bayan, every so often in the month of Ramadan, other opportunities, you get a knock on the door that there is still something wrong in my life that I need to correct. There is still this wrong in my life that I need to correct. So I should be doing tawbah from it. The moment the eyes close, وَلَاهُمْ يُسْتَعْتَبُونَ, you will not even be asked to carry out tawbah because it's useless now. It's expired. So time is limited. So don't think, no, you need to do something. وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ, you need to return to Allah Ta'ala. So I was saying the first ploy of shaitan is that I'm okay. I don't need to do this. I don't need to practice upon deen. I don't need to practice upon this part of deen. And the second ploy was, I'll do it, but I'll do it later. So after that, Allah Ta'ala says, وَاتَّبِعُوا أَحْسَنَ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُم مِّن رَبِّكُم مِّن قَبْلِ أَن يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابُ بَغْتَ. Follow those good advices which have been revealed to you, which are in the glorious Quran, in the ahadith, which you hear from the tongues of pious people, of ulama, of people busy in the efforts of da'wah and tabligh, and from anyone. Follow those good advices. Before punishment comes, and it comes suddenly. Punishment in this world, or punishment in the form of your death, it comes, it can come suddenly. And here, the min is min ibtida'iyya. And the min ibtida'iyya here translates to immediately before. Follow the advices, immediately before punishment comes, suddenly. Meaning you and I being told that for you and I, the punishment, the death, the time to return, could be immediate. It could be tomorrow. Don't look at me, I shouldn't be looking at my age that, oh, I still have some way to go. I don't have any black hairs yet. I don't have any white hairs yet. That's a deceit. Whatever your age is, if you grow in the graveyard, you will find one gravestone at least on which that age is there. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that don't sit back. Guidance is available for all in this world. But a person cannot sit back. I'll be okay without it. Without this part of deen, or without deen instead. And neither should a person sit back thinking that I'll do it later. No, the quicker the better. And when a person shows desire, then Allah Ta'ala guides him, like we said. The star is very, very far away. But its light reaches every person. So in the same way, when a person desires the guidance of Allah Ta'ala, then the first thing he will do is make dua to Allah Ta'ala. And then Allah Ta'ala will start putting thoughts into his head that I should do this. I can't stay away from this sin. Alhamdulillah, salah is under control, but I can't stay away from controlling of the tongue. Allah Ta'ala will put it into his head that let me take advice from this person. Sometimes someone comes to me for advice. Being in the position of Imam, sometimes people think this person has knowledge, so sometimes people come to me for advice. And I will be honest with you. A fiqhi masala is easy to answer. A fiqhi masala is easy to answer because you go check the books. This is the answer. Or if the answer is complex, you refer to a mufti. Someone comes to ask you for advice, I get worried. There is no straightforward off the book answer. What am I going to say to him? I make dua to Allah. I have no idea what his question is. His question, I have no idea if that. So sometimes someone comes for advice, and whatever Allah Ta'ala puts into my heart and mind in light of the Quran hadith, I mentioned it. And then they are very grateful, they appreciate it. They say, this is exactly what I need. So I tell them, That is, the advice is not from me, the advice from Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala sent you here and Allah Ta'ala used me through your desire. But otherwise it was from Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is guiding you. So you and I, let us also look through our lives. That am I also lacking in following the guidance shown by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Maybe and let us assess what percentage is it? I'm ending on this point. Until my deficiency in following the deen of Allah Ta'ala is 0%, I should not rest. Why? I will end on this point. If a person is a well-behaved citizen, he doesn't normally follow the break the rules. And then he breaks one law. He gets caught speeding. He cannot say to the police, "It's the first time I've been speeding." He does some other crime and because of that he needs to go to court. This is the first law broken. Because of that he might get a decrease in the sentence. The judge might look at past good behavior. But he cannot say, "I'm innocent." No. It doesn't matter. You've still broken this law. So in the court of Allah Ta'ala, even if we go with one wrong, then we will not be able to say to Allah Ta'ala, "I did everything else." Allah Ta'ala will say, "This was my law, why did you break it?" I'm not making anyone despondent here. What I am saying is that we should never rest in peace. If we want to rest in peace after the eyes close, then in this world we should never rest in peace until we see that our life is empty of the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. And right now it seems like a very far target, like that star is very far. But if you make that an objective, before our eyes close, that will happen inshallah. If a non-Muslim can do that, the doors of guidance are open for a non-Muslim as well. That star is there for non-Muslims as well. That means a non-Muslim also has access to that. If a non-Muslim can do that, then you and I who are Muslims and who know so much about Islam, why can't we do it as well? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant firstly myself and thereafter all of us the tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك تبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا إله غيرك سبحان ربي الأعلى العلي الوهاب يا ربي لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وارض عنا رضا لا سخط بعده اللهم صل على محمد وانزله المقد المقرب عندك وإلهكم إله واحد لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا ذا القوة المتين ويا راحم المساكين ويا راحم المساكين ويا أرحم الراحمين ربي اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين لئن لم يرحمنا ربنا ويغفر لنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربي أعط نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم اجعلنا من خدام دينك ومن عشاكك وعشاك حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار والله forgive our sins والله have mercy upon us والله make us empty of sin just like on the day we were born. O Allah, make us pure from sins. O Allah, distance us from our sins. O Allah, grant us the tawfiq to follow your guidance in totality. O Allah, grant us the tawfiq to follow your deen in such a manner that when we have to stand in front of you, then we are not guilty. Our heads are not lowered. We are not looking at the floor in shame. Oh Allah, grant us, we worry about pleasing everyone else. Grant us, we worry about pleasing friends, pleasing family, pleasing spouses. Oh Allah, grant us the tawfiq to please you. Amen. Oh Allah, you are the greatest benefactor of us. Small people who do small favors upon us in this world, we worry about keeping them happy. Oh Allah, grant us the tawfiq to worry about keeping you happy as well. Oh Allah, grant us the success of this world and the hereafter. All of those things that are necessary for us to gain the success of this world and the hereafter, grant us the tawfiq to acquire them. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. Oh Allah, many people are ill, many people are unwell, many people are in other forms of difficulty. There are many other countries in the world where people are suffering, Muslim and non-Muslim, because of war, because of battle, because of other difficulties, because of poverty, because of difficulties in practicing upon deen. Oh Allah, whoever is in whatever difficulty, grant them afia. Oh Allah, there are many people who are busy in court cases, many people who are innocently behind bars. Oh Allah, grant them afia. Oh Allah, grant them sukoon. Oh Allah, whatever you decree with us in this world, do not deprive us from the great success of the hereafter. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. والله make this masjid, this institute, every masjid, every institute, Al-Mustafa Academy, every institute, every effort of deen in the world, make it a means of guidance. والله accept it. Allah, make it a means of Jannah for the people who are making that effort, and make it a means of Jannah for the people who are on the receiving end. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. I apologize. I have no idea how much time has passed because there is no clock in front of me. So I apologize if time was supposed to be this much, that much.
Just a few announcements before we leave. First of all, inshallah, on the 17th of May, a coach, a minibus, will be going from Ashton to Leicester to benefit from Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Salim Durasab, hafidhahullah. Like Mawlana was mentioning, we don't get many opportunities to benefit, so we should take each and every opportunity that we should. And also, on behalf of Al-Mustafa Academy, we would like to thank the committee, the masjid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the masjid a huge amount of barakat, blessings, and take it from strength to strength, and grant each and everyone connected to Masjid al-Hamza and all the Muslims in the world, grant them Jannatul Firdaus, grant them the connection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and grant them happiness in this world, and more importantly, the happiness of the hereafter. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.